Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
New Churches.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim. And that's Todd Adkins. I wonder if you could hold it for like 20 seconds.
Oh, I could totally do that, but
okay, not this episode though. Like all right. So, like that. Okay. So we are going to actually, if you haven't listened to episode 560, be sure to listen to that one first, because this is part two where we're talking about organizational life cycles.
And Daniel's making fun of me I made fun of him for not remembering Clifton StrengthsFinder and blah, blah, blah. Now he's making fun of me because I messed up on the book. Well, I wanted to forget corporate life cycles because it is 500 and some pages long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So here's the thing.
It's good.
It is really long.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
It's a great way. Like if you had it in your backpack and you forgot tent pegs and you went on a camping trip and you didn't want your tent to blow away, would also work.
And you know what? You don't need to read it cover to cover either. But
no.
So the funny thing is, after episode 560, we ended and the audio was uploading because I'm in Edmonton and Todd is in Tennessee, in Nashville. And I was like, So I am 90. This was our conversation. I was like, so Todd, I am 99.99% sure that you've read Adiza's Managing Corporate Life Cycles. And you're like, what? And I started to describe the book, and because I remember even right now sitting in your office.
What's the title again? And you're like, yeah.
Because I remember I can envision myself sitting in your office right now, and I see exactly where that book was. And I was like, when you hired me, and I started at Lifeway, and I went to your office for the first time, I was like, whoa, legit. Todd's read this book too. And obviously you're the leadership guy, but you know, and then we talked about organizational life cycles, and I remember all that. I was like, okay, let's talk about this. And anyways, haha.
It's not the most approachable book, but it's a good book.
It is. And what we're trying to do, remember when we used to do book breakdowns? Do you still do that on the 5LQ?
I haven't done a book breakdown in a little bit.
That'd be a good one to do.
Yeah, you should swing back through sometime.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be a good one to do. So
I just had a interview with Larry Osborne today. Which our leaders, the godfather of sticky everything.
Yeah.
What's his Babylon book? Something to Babylon. It's really pressing for right now. It'd be a great read. A Contrarian's Guide. There's a couple of different ones that you know all the sticky stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm
yeah.
telling you, you should go back and look at some of his other stuff because it's even better than the sticky stuff. Just saying. Anyway, I'm not really sure why I had to bring that up. Because we talked about the well curve and the bell curve.
Yeah.
So I got really smart because I was talking to Larry about the well curve and the bell curve.
And that's episode 558. So that's kind of 556, 558 are the episodes that kind of kicked all this stuff off, this little mini series we're doing on the future of the church. And we're going to be today picking up on where we left off on episode 560. So we ended 560 talking about whether you're a church plant or an established church or a church wanting to multiply, and regardless of how COVID has affected you, the desire that we have to be efficient and effective and to reach our city, to reach our neighbors for Christ, and how can we be in that place when, as a church, it's not as simple as just preaching the Bible and expecting your team to work well. right? It's actually not. I wish it was. It's not that simple. Yes, we need to preach the word, but in order to have an organization and a church that runs effectively and runs well and can scale, there's a lot of dynamics and there's a lot of team dynamics that come into play. So we basically ended off last episode wanting to address that, and that's where we want to kick today's off as well. So yeah, Todd, what are your thoughts around an ideal team and what a team looks like? What sorts of personalities and gift mix we need today on our teams in order to thrive in this COVID / post-COVID world?
I mean, okay, so it's really weird how all this stuff like kind of fits together, because, you know, when it comes to leadership development, I would say, hey, you know, part of it's poetry, part of it's plumbing. Mm. I would also say I hire people over position. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I do that is because I know I need a team of poets and plumbers. Mm. I need people, and I actually probably need more people, more plumbers than poets. Meaning, you know, plumbers are the people that get it done. They understand the systems and processes and everything that needs to take place beneath the surface to make it happen. And they can address issues at the surface, certainly. But there's a certain amount of poetry and finesse and interaction with people and, you know, vision casting. There's all these different elements. So depending on, I would say, your personal strengths and weaknesses, you want to develop a team around you. And it's not that if you're taken out of the equation, it's no longer an effective team. Mm-hmm. It's so that if any one person, you know, stumbles, the rest of the team can kind of make up for it. So what I've always really enjoyed is saying, okay, our team needs to be cross-functional enough and cross-trained well enough to deal with whatever comes our way. But the biggest thing for me is I want a person on my team that has a really strong work ethic and is really in alignment with our vision and is a learner. And if I have those, you know, kind of qualities and some people skills, of course, then, man, I can give them everything else they need to be successful, because it's just a matter of then making sure that they get the vision and carry the vision as much as I do, because it's the people that are going to carry that forward. It's not going to be a process. It's not going to be a program you create. It's going to be people. So mm-hmm. team building is really all about culture forming, because the very nature of what we're talking about here, people are carriers of culture. You guys have heard me say all this stuff at one time or another in different podcasts, but that's the way I see all these things coming together. When you ask me, you know, when I'm looking at how important a team is and putting the right people on that team, that's my answer. I hope it was somewhat cognizant and were able to do the math there.
Well, and what's really interesting is, I mean, you're a Myers-Briggs guy and I'm a StrengthsFinder guy. And I mean, there's millions of different assessments and all of that. But when you look at Adiz's work, what's really interesting is up and down the life cycle, there are different strengths or profiles or personalities of leaders that are more important at some places than not. So I'll give you an example. Organizations that are kind of on the other side of the top of the curve on a life cycle and are kind of in the downward trajectory, where it's like, you know, for example, about to die, and the organization is called a bureaucracy. So it's fully about to die. The next phase is actually death. Those organizations are full of administrators and nothing else. The entrepreneurs, the producers, the integrators, and there are four different styles of leadership that he talks about. They're all absent. They've all left. They've all completely left, and only administrators are left, and that's what leads it to death. So when you think about So, but on the flip side, if you think about organizations that are about to be like brand new church plants, they often are driven by entrepreneurs and they don't have administrators, but they are fully driven by entrepreneurs. So what's interesting is when you think about these four styles of leaders, and once again, I do think it's a little bit, it's probably too simplistic when you look at the four, but I'll just kind of walk through the four and then I'll tell you which of these four should be dominant for an organization that is in kind of that prime growth stage that we all want to be at. Okay, so you have producers. Producers are people who like to get things done, right? They focus on what we're doing, and you know, they'd rather work than go to meetings. So it's kind of those types of people, right? They want to finish the project, and when they finish it, they want to start another. An administrator, they are the ones that love to organize. They write policies, rules, systems, procedures. They focus on how to do the work, and if you don't have a policy, they're going to create one for you, right? So they're the ones that are on schedule, and you know, you want to organize something, that's them. Entrepreneurs are the ones that are risk takers, thinkers, right? Typical church planter, right? Develop ideas of what they want to produce in the future, energetic, enthusiastic, the new, right? That's kind of those entrepreneurs. And then you have integrators who like to bring people together, help people feel involved. Their focus is on helping and who is helping and how well we are working together, you know, being a little bit more interdependent, right? So for example, if you think about a disc, D is kind of like the entrepreneurs, I are the integrators, S is the producer, and C's are the administrators. So what's interesting is going to those four styles, organizations that are kind of at their prime growth area. This is according to Adiz's. They have strong producers, strong administrators, and strong entrepreneurs. Integrators are present, but they're not dominant. But you have this where the producers, administrators, and entrepreneurs are there. The reason an organization kind of peaks and begins going down the other way is because entrepreneurs leave, or they get squeezed out, or they get squeezed out from the leadership table. Because it's like, no, we can't change that like that. You know, we don't have time for new. You know how much work has gone into creating what we have right now? You can't. So think about it from that perspective, right? Like, look at your organization right now, your church right now. Do you have entrepreneurs sitting at your leadership table? Right? Do you have entrepreneurs sitting at your leadership table? Now, once you squeeze those entrepreneurs out, who are typically the ones that were like, well, should we be doing streaming the way that we've always been doing, or should groups be the way that we've always done it in light of everything being online, or should we change? You know, the entrepreneurs are the ones that are questioning everything, and you can tell in a state how in a stable organization how people would hate them.
They do, and they're right? Like, but what about now? No, you don't understand.
Yeah, exactly, right?
We need to save you from yourself, bro.
Yeah.
You clearly don't understand all the details, or you wouldn't think that.
Yeah, but what about now? Right? I mean, I wonder, moving forward into 2021 and beyond, how much more important those entrepreneurs have to be within your team, and do you have them?
That's good.
It's interesting. I mean, we could like go so deep into this. It's just fascinating, right? Organizational theory and how that affects churches. So I guess my question to you, Todd, is for the established church, you know, and I know our podcast is primarily on church planting, on multi-site, on multiplication, but I do know that pastors of established churches are listening in because they want to become a sending church, they want to be a multiplying church, or they just like your interruptions, right? So or Ed's pontifications or whatever, but I know we have pastors who are not the church planter listening in. What would you say to them as they look into 2021 in light of this whole idea of entrepreneurs being so important to move into 2021 and beyond?
Well, okay. So what's also fascinating to me is if you flipped the situational leadership model, Blanchard's, it would really flow really well with what you've described. If you laid the quadrants over top of each other and what's needed when. And for some of those listeners, we know that you don't like look at all this every day. So if you want to look those up, that'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it is understanding what I need to be in what context. And if I am not that, because you're naturally going to be strongest in one of these areas, just like Daniel was talking about, you know, personality assessment. You probably know your DISC, your Myers-Briggs, or heaven forbid, even your Enneagram. But the DISC is probably the most helpful here because it puts you clearly in four different ones, and it uses opposing patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, the I and the C are opposing, and the entrepreneur and the administrator are opposing, you know, ends of the spectrum. So you may be an I, or you may be an administrator, and you have to understand, I need that other person. I need that perspective to make me stronger. And, you know, whether you want to look at, if I said iron sharpens iron, I'd be taking it out of context. So I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say, though, is it's really important. You are not going to get where you need to go if you just surround yourself with people just like you. In the same way, you know, that we read and learn, you're not going to get to where you need to go just by reading the things that you like or have a tendency to do. You really need that different perspective to be able to gain knowledge and insight and understanding even into your own. It doesn't mean your perspective is going to completely shift, but you know, the best breakthroughs are usually a combination of two opposing ideas or two opposing views, or simply two things in two different fields that nobody put together before. Mm-hmm. And suddenly somebody figures that out, and it's an amazing new thing that everybody looks at each other and says, why didn't I think of that? Because it's so obvious once they're together, but it wasn't when we were just, you know, looking in our one square of the quadrant.
That's good. Yeah. It's what's also, you know, to add on to that, what's also interesting is just look at your congregation. You're going to have all four of these styles and many more within your church family. So whether someone is actually on in an official staff role, paid or non-paid, what does it look like for you to create environments where you have the innovators and the entrepreneurs able to speak into what you're doing and advise? So if your model is that of having deacons or elders or a board or whatever it is, make sure that you're not just bringing on people who are like you, or bringing, you know, on yes men.
It's almost like we're all parts of a body.
And what?
Each part of the body
does. That's awesome. Wait. Didn't I think someone really smart wrote that? It's in the book of, yeah. Right. So
I'm sitting here going, what's a good analogy for this?
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Well, you know what? That's a great place to end. So thanks again so much for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. If you have follow-up questions or things that you want us to double-click on or dive a little bit deeper down in, just be sure to send that in. If you go to our website, newchurches.com, you can hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or you can hit go to speakpipe.com/newchurches on your mobile device, record that question, and send it in. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.